Okay, the kids are already asking what's for dinner. But breaking news, empty fridge. That's okay. I'll Instacart. Let's add some organic asparagus and some farm fresh chicken. Easy. Wait, is the oldest vegetarian this week, or was it gluten-free? Gluten-free pasta. Covered either way. Cart it. And finally, some vegetarian gluten-free olives for my well-earned cocktail. When your family's shopping list has more footnotes than groceries, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Valentine's Day, beeps. You know who you are. That's you. I hope you had a great day. If, in fact, you do mark, celebrate, acknowledge, hate Valentine's Day. I call it the day of love. We all have people that we love. It doesn't have to be romantic love. My mom, every year since I was a little kid, will you be my Valentine? Yes, Mom. Love you. I mean, she sends me gift cards for Valentine's Day because she is a goof and because she loves me. So whatever it is that you consider to be the love of your life, someone asked me on social media if I got Penny a Valentine's Day gift. No, it's not quite as much fun when the receiver does not acknowledge, but she had her treats and I took care of her like I always do. I'm wearing pink just because it makes me happy. I wear pink on a pretty regular basis, but whatever you think about when you think of love in your life, whether it's family, whether it's friends, I had a bunch of girlfriends send me text messages. I even talked to one of them and we did the whole happy Galentine's Day because these are women in my life that I could not live without. They mean the world to me. They support me, encourage me, and I do the same for them. And that kind of love is also really important. So whoever it is that you love, whatever it is that you think of when you think of love, it's a good day to be reminded that we have relationships that are really important to us, regardless of the titles, what they look like, you know, whether or not they're romantic love. So I hope that you ate some chocolate. I eat chocolate chip cookies. Oh, so good. Oh, you know what? And I'll just fess up. After I had my egg burrito, my egg and mozz, as in mozzarella cheese, my egg and mozzarella cheese burrito on Tuesday morning when I got home from work, I then walked my love, Penny, and had a piece of chocolate after that. Because I feel like on Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, Malentine's Day, Relentine's Day, whatever it is, that chocolate is necessary. So yes, I did have a piece of chocolate. And then after I did my Valentine's Day yoga, self-love, you know, that's what she was talking about, self-love. I might have, when we're doing the yoga nidra at the end, I might have lost track of her for a few minutes. I was pretty comfortable. Though, man, now that I'm up and moving around, so sore from running on Monday and then doing yoga today. So anyway, did a little self-love with the yoga and self-care. It was good to be stretching. It was good to be able to just take some time and actually, I was going to say turn off the TV, but I haven't turned on the TV since Super Bowl. How crazy is that? I've done a bunch of listening on the radio, though. Guess what I listened to on Tuesday afternoon? The entire hour of Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee because I guess my entire day wasn't loving myself and taking care of myself.
Box breathing.
Yeah, no, he wasn't doing any of that. He was frothing at the mouth about how people think they know him and think they know his life and his plan. He had one hell of an agenda for the first 15 minutes of that conversation. So that was part of my Galentine's Day. Also part of it was the yoga, as I mentioned, got a little nap, which was nice. And then spent some time listening to the Bucks and the Celtics on the radio, both Bucks and Celtics radio networks, to catch the lay of the land, because this was one doozy of a matchup as we get to the All-Star break coming up this weekend. This is the top two teams. These are the top two teams in the NBA, and they are now separated by just a half game. Celtics have one more win, but the two teams have the exact same number of losses. And if you look big picture NBA, they both have a better winning percentage, slightly better winning percentage than the Denver Nuggets. These are your top two teams in the league right now. As we get to the All-Star break, actually Celtics play again on, is it today's Tuesday? Celtics play again on Wednesday. And so they actually will get to the break having played 59 games, which is nearly 75% of their schedule. So a lot of times we look at the All-Star break as though it's the midway point. It's not. They are nearly 75% of the way through the schedule, meaning that they come out of this All-Star break and they are into the stretch run, as in go, 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 baby. But the Celtics are kind of limping to the All-Star break. They were missing four starters. Jason Tatum was out tonight because of illness. The other guys are dealing with injuries. The Bucks and the Celtics fought and scratched and clawed. They both are above 70% in terms of their winning percentage, but only one could come out the victor on this night. So we'll get to that game as well as a couple of other happenings and storylines around the NBA. As I say, they're inching closer to the All-Star break. But whatever it is that you needed on Tuesday, I hope that you found it. Pink, red, white flowers. I do like flowers. That's the one thing about having romantic love. You hope that someone gives you flowers. I didn't have flowers this year. Yeah, the flowers do kind of give me the tingle. Thank you, Mike Tomlin, for acknowledging. Not this year, though, but want to hear something amazing. Well, amazing, but also a little bit scary. My crocuses are already blooming. It's Valentine's Day, and I've got purple crocuses all over the front of my yard. So I have two front flower beds, one on each side of my front door. And the crocuses, they have definitely been fruitful and multiplied. They are blooming every day. I've taken a bunch of pictures. I did put one up over the weekend, mostly because I'm worried about them. It's way too early. If a freeze comes along, like did 2 weeks ago when we had 0 degrees and minus 18 wind chills, they'll get blasted. But they have come back in droves. So maybe I will share a little montage of photos of them, because they are beautiful, all different color purple. So even though I do feel like it's way too early and it makes me nervous because I want to yell at them, go back into your little holes in the ground. No, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get frozen. They're everywhere in my neighborhood. I heard someone else on the radio, a host on the radio that I was listening to, news radio, indicate that as he's walking around in his neighborhood, there are budding trees already, which, again, scary, because they'll get blasted and could really be injured if we end up in a deep freeze again in our neighborhood. So there are some signs of spring. Not quite the flowers that I would expect this time of the year that a lot of people think about. No roses. Oh my gosh, my climbing rose it needs to be dormant. It's too early for that too. I still have yard work to do, for heaven's sakes, to clean up for the spring. I'm not there yet. But if you had flowers or chocolate or cards or kind words, I hope that they made you smile. My chocolate chip cookies were delicious. I would love to share them with you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page named after the show. I saw that our YouTube channel had a bunch of traffic over the last 24 hours as well, which is great. And my new blog post, which I won't talk about right this second, but I've not even been able to get through the hundreds of comments that you've sent me in response to that, which I just shared on Tuesday. So thank you for that. You know who you are. I appreciate your support and your encouragement always. That link is on our social media, but I say we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So it is our hump show. And the hump show means you get to ask Amy anything. Producer Jay's already put up a spot on our show Twitter, which I retweeted. It is the bright orange box. It's very un-Valentine's Day-like. Maybe at some point we should change the colors, except I almost feel like this is becoming a throwback to the first year. Well, it was the second year. It was my second year. We didn't do this in the first year. But the second year, back to when I was hosting the show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, this is now become a thing that a lot of people can recognize on social. And so you've already been sending your questions, and producer Jay, he sometimes saves the ones that he doesn't get to. So if you have a really good question, you don't hear it on this edition of the show. You never know, it might pop up later. I know that our video editions of Ask Amy Anything, which are all on YouTube, those are very popular. They seem to be the videos that you watch more than any other. And so we always will do those once a quarter. We just did one for Super Bowl week, and before that, I had one for the holidays. So yeah, the Ask Amy Anything questions, they can be vital, even if you don't hear your question on this edition of the show, and always podcasted too if you don't hear it live. So on Twitter or Facebook, send your questions, creative. I suppose they can be about Valentine's Day, though that will kind of be in the rearview mirror by the time we get to it a couple hours from now. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We had a couple of good calls last night, and I'm hoping that we can also work in a few, or at least some fun reaction tonight, because I came up with a goofy question. I think it'll be fun and maybe induce some laughter. And I guess we could phrase it like a fill in the blank, only because it seems to fit the best. I know I don't like to do two fill in the blank show questions in 1 week, and we already did one, but who knows, you could not have been listening to that show anyway. But in honor of Valentine's Day, I want you to fill in this blank. Find someone who loves you as much as blah la la la. So find someone who loves you as much as Kyrie Irving loves himself. Ooh. Find someone who loves you as much as Kyrie Irving loves the dark side.
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Find someone who loves you as much as Amy loves Star Wars. There you go. Find someone who loves you as much as Aaron Rodgers loves his Pat McAfee platform. And we could flip that. Find someone who loves you as much as the Pat McAfee show loves Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly what I'm saying. So you could find someone who loves you as much as what? Find someone who loves you as much as,
People are coming here to play with me.
Yeah. We already did the Aaron Rodgers part. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. As all non-Cowboys fans love calling them names and making fun of them. I mean, non-Cowboys fans, you all pile on. We could be light years removed from talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and somehow you always work them into the conversation. Find someone who loves you as much as Derrick Henry loves to stiff arm the competition. Oh, so good. All right. So that's kind of the idea. I don't want to take all of yours, but we are open for business. So on Twitter, on Facebook, or if you want to call up, find someone who loves you as much as what? This is going to be fun. I hope appropriate as well. But since I know you, not always appropriate. But just if you want your responses to be read or to be shared, then you'll have to be appropriate. It was appropriate that we did get another appearance from Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee on Tuesday, because the timing with the reports that were coming out over the weekend and that were reiterated on Monday, I swear to you, I heard people say Aaron Rodgers is already in his darkness retreat. We heard that from multiple places. We heard that from national insiders. In fact, McAfee himself had Ian Rappaport on the show Monday. And what did you know? Rappaport was spewing these types of reports, using his sources to indicate that Rodgers would be on his darkness retreat from Monday through Thursday, as in right now. Oh, well, wait a minute then. Who is it who's doing the show on Tuesday with McAfee?
Listen, I'm not in my darkness retreat yet.
What?
Oh, and yesterday.
What?
Nope. This thing has been planned for about 4 months, and it was always the same date, always the end of this week.
Oh.
So anybody with knowledge to the opposite of that, it's fake news.
Whoa.
So
let me just
reiterate one more time.
Suck it, Rob.
There's an inner circle, right? And in my inner circle, nobody talks to Ian Rappaport, to Adam Schefter, or to any of those people. Okay? So if you're one of those people who's talking to those people, it's a great reminder for you, you're not in the inner circle.
Oh!
Damn.
That was hanging on somebody there. Yeah.
And if anybody else is out there saying stuff, or if they're just making it up, which is also, those are both likely, just stop with the fake news.
Okay.
So I speak for myself.
Yep.
And I will continue to do that. I'm not upset about it. Like, it's the classic media, you know, trying to be first, not trying to be right. And the problem is there's a slippery slope.
Okay, I don't know whatever possessed me to listen to the entire hour of Rodgers and McAfee. I did want to hear what he was going to say about the darkness retreat, and I happened to be catching up on emails and text messages. It took me about 90 minutes. I'm not even sure I'm still done, or I'm done yet still. But I just let it play, and he spent the first 10 to 15 minutes on this soapbox. You don't know me. You think you know me. My inner circle this, my inner circle that. I think he mentioned his inner circle about a dozen times. I think he called out certain national reporters more than once. His gist essentially is what he's just saying. If you think you know what's happening, think again, because you're not getting it from my inner circle. Do you guys remember, and actually this is fitting because Tiger Woods also spoke on Tuesday. Do you guys remember before the whole family scandal with Tiger Woods when he played his cards so close to the vest? He, as it turned out, he was a major fraud, right? Because what he was living was a total lie. But what we found out is that he would ask people, or he would require people who were in his inner circle to sign pieces of paper that indicated they would not disclose anything that they knew about him. They were essentially non-disclosure agreements, but they were also privacy agreements. But I mean, he was notorious about his privacy, and I can understand why now. So that's what Aaron Rodgers sounded like. He sounded like, under penalty of death, these people would never betray me. Now, maybe it's not that. I'm sure it's not that. It's probably just a loyalty thing. If you love Aaron, you love Aaron. I mean, we all have people who love us, right? We're talking about that on Valentine's Day. There isn't a snowball's chance in hell that my best friends, if I knew that they wanted to keep something private, that I would share it. And I think it's just standard when you've got people that you're tight with. But he kept talking about his inner circle, that there's no way any of these people, these sources, these reporters, had gotten to anyone in his inner circle, because that's just not happening. And as I say, he went on this tangent for probably a good 10 to 15 minutes before they ever started talking about the actual darkness retreat. And it's true. There's a lot of misinformation out there, including the fact that McAfee himself had Ian Rappaport the day before. So I think, as much as Rodgers kept saying, this is not personal, I'm not mad at you guys, he definitely had an axe to grind, as in he would not let it go. Find someone who loves you as much as a dog loves a bone, because that's what it felt like. I kept listening like, wow, he's not going to let this go. He's not going to let this go. And he didn't. I mean, he just went around and around to let everybody know that his plan was already in place. Don't believe what you hear or what you read, because it did not come from me, unless it came from me like it did Tuesday.
We did the show last week. I said, after the Super Bowl, I'm going to go on my darkness retreat, and then I'm probably going to have a better sense about where I'm at in my life. I didn't say I'm going to my darkness retreat just to figure out if I'm going to play next year or retire, right? So then that narrative got out there. So how many f***ing narratives can come from one like show where they didn't even actually listen to what I said or the intent or the tone. And again, nothing against Rappaport, but he doesn't have anybody who knows legitimately what's going on in my life.
Well, okay?
So
to
say something.
We apologize.
To say something Monday through Thursday, I was supposed to be in there. That was never the plan. It hasn't been the plan for 4 months. So don't make it up, okay? Like, I don't have your number. You're not going to have my number. You do a great job, but not when it comes to my life, so stop talking about it.
They went on to talk about the Darkness Retreat on the Pat McAfee Show, and boy, did it devolve into some of what will happen in the Darkness Retreat. And I'll get to that later on. It's not all Aaron Rodgers clapping back at the reports that were erroneous. But boy, when he realized he had the opportunity, he hammered it, as in hammered it home. So yeah, that was part of what I did on my Valentine's Day. I know you're super impressed. So we've got our post up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page in honor of the Day of Love, Valentine's Day. We want you to fill in the blank. Find someone who loves you as much as Kyrie loves Dallas. Oh, no, no. Find someone who loves you as much as Giannis loves dad jokes. Giannis was playing as the Celtics were in town in Milwaukee. Giannis was, but four of the Celtics starters were out. So we'll get to that game between the top two teams in the NBA coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Going the other way, Holiday launches up a three-quarter court three, and he hits it! Drew Holiday! Thank you very much! Well, this guy lives for the Holiday games. On Valentine's Day, Drew Holiday sinks one from three-quarter court, 48 feet out. How do you like that?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Bucks Radio, that was quite a moment for Drew Holiday on what was a career night in more ways than one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Milwaukee Bucks were facing the Boston Celtics without four of their starters. So no Jaylen Brown. He's got the facial laceration. We knew that Jason Tatum wasn't going to play because he was ill. Marcus Smart has been out. Al Horford didn't play either. And so this was a bunch of guys that are not used to playing the kind of minutes that they were getting on this night in Milwaukee. And yet the Celtics had the advantage early in this game.
On the baseline, feeds out, Holiday, catch and shoot, three, yes sir! Drew Holiday delivers again, his seventh three-pointer of the night, draws the timeout from the Celtics.
Hauser steps to his right, launches a crazy three.
Oh, he got it! He got it! Sam Hauser couldn't see the rim, but somehow he knocks down a fallaway three, moving to his right, and the Boston Celtics are down four starters, but with 3 seconds left, they've tied the game.
So you get the back and forth there between the Bucks and the Celtics. At one point, Milwaukee rattled off a 21-3 stretch. So 21-3 run that not only brought them back and gave them the lead, but looked as though they were sitting pretty and were going to avoid what would have been a bit of an upset, I think, with the Celtics playing without four of their starters, except that Wisconsin native Sam Hauser hits that humongous triple, and he does it even as he's turning sideways, not really looking at the basket. You hear with Sean Grandy there on Celtics radio, he just kind of in the air turns, chucks it up, and it bangs home off the glass. And how about this? Because he's a Wisconsin native, he had 40 family and friends in attendance.
We were down three, and I was just trying to find a little bit of space just to get a shot up and get it up on the rim and give ourselves a chance, and just try to get to a spot where I felt comfortable and got it up in time, and obviously it went in, and it forced overtime. But sucks that we lost, but it was good to play like that in front of a lot of friends and family.
Steal from Holiday. He's running the other way, and he'll flush it through. Drew Holiday, a little leather larceny, pulls his team back to within a point. 1:31 to go. Connaughton passes to Holiday. Squeezes off a three for the lead. And he buries it from straight on. Mr. Clutch. Drew Holiday delivers again. 2-point lead for the Bucks. Ingles will inbound. He's got Robert Williams jumping up and down. Feeds it into Giannis. And there's your exclamation as he stuffs it down with a jackhammer jam. And Milwaukee now leads 131-125. And that is your ball game.
The go-ahead three for Drew Holiday in overtime was the eighth of his night. So he goes 8 of 12 from beyond the arc. A career high in made triples, 40 points plus 7 assists for Drew. His 40 points tie his career high as the Bucks rattle off the final 7 points of the game. So a bunch of wild swings in this one between the top two teams, not just in the East, but the top two teams in the NBA now in terms of wins and winning percentage.
We didn't really say much. I feel like at this point, we kind of know what it is. For ourselves and our teammates, we keep our composure pretty well. I don't think anybody really gets too high or too low in situations like that.
We went down and he made a few big time plays that just are very Drew-like. So special performance by him.
I think we hang our hats on defense and, I mean, give it up to them. They played hard. They played great. But I just think down the stretch, we made more plays on both ends.
Definitely did. Drew Holiday on a night when Giannis wasn't elite. I mean, he's good still, always, but he sets the bar so high. 36 points for him. He was 11 of 19 from the free throw line, but late in this game, he made a bunch of sets of two at the stripe. 13 rebounds, was an assist shy of a triple-double, but also was 2 turnovers shy of a triple-double.
Can't believe it.
So he definitely had some moments where he was fumbling the ball around, though he did play 46 minutes. Holiday set the tone. 40 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. And then Chris Middleton, he's on a minutes restriction. Crazy enough, he was not allowed to play in the overtime because of that. So the Celtics were missing 4 guys, 4 starters, and the Bucks were not going to play Chris Middleton extra come hell or high water regardless. So even for those people who believe this was a critical game because of home court advantage, which I know Giannis talked about that afterwards. I'm not sure if we have that. It doesn't sound like the Bucks care that much. Now, it could end up being a big deal, but at this point with, I don't know, about 25% of your games to go, I don't suppose you have to freak out about it. It definitely was an uphill climb. Celtics had their opportunities, but this was always going to be a tough one for Joe Mazzulla's club.
We were detailed, focused, effort, did all the right things to win. They made a couple more plays than we did down the stretch, but that was 2 great teams playing against each other, regardless of who's in, who's out. We played hard, and, credit to our guys.
Am I the only one who's noticed now that the average score of an NBA game is creeping higher and higher and higher, where you have really no teams on any given night who are not scoring triple digits, 1, maybe 2, but it seems more and more that the scores are 130 to 126, 140 is not all that uncommon now. Yeah, it's astounding the numbers that are being put up. I'm going to have to do some research and see if I can figure out what the scoring average is right now in the NBA. Producer Jay says he's got it.
The average NBA team scores 113.8 points this season, and compare that to 10 years ago, where the average was 98.1.
Well, right, for sure. I just wondered if it was going up this year. Is that through current games, or does it... Is that like through current day? That's today?
This was through January 6th.
Okay, so even in the last month and a half, I believe the scores have started to skyrocket. We probably could look. I'm sure there's like an NBA reference page where we can figure it out. But I really want to know if it's even up from last year, because that's what it feels like. On a lot of nights, Marco Belletti, it almost feels like this is an all-star deal where they don't really play defense until they have to. Or the teams that do play defense, really, they stand out. Because the numbers that these teams are putting up now, a lot of it has to do with threes, mm-hmm. but it's not enjoyable basketball to me a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's the threes, it's the spacing, it's the quickness, the up and down, and it's also a lack of
57 free throws per team.
Yeah, it's also a lack of effort on the defensive end. I mean, you're giving up that bucket, but let's get out and run on the other end, and everything is trying to move a little faster, which is not a bad thing, but clamping down is not exactly something that people are looking to do.
No.
Through 48 minutes.
And I would say, too, that it's been a long stretch for them. They're nearly 75% of the way through their schedule. The All-Star break's not halfway. It's not even remotely. So it's been a long stretch. And so there are probably a lot of guys who are dog-tired, some of them dealing with injuries and aren't giving as much effort. I mean, that's got to be the case as well.
But I also think it's coaching, because I think it's you know, the get out and the run and the spacing and knocking down threes. So there's a lot more of the... We can give that up if mm-hmm. we can get it on the other end.
Right,
so
right.
It's playing defense by playing better offense. We're seeing that in every sport, and basketball is no different.
And the rules have definitely tilted
Absolutely.
In that direction. Okay, so we're playing a fun game tonight in honor of Valentine's Day, because everyone loves someone. Doesn't have to be, well, you have a wife and two kiddos that adore you. So, yeah, in fact, your daughter wanted to read Elmo during the Super Bowl. I feel like that's just a sign of how much she loves her daddy.
Yeah, it's constant. She loves Elmo, and she loves to read. That's something that...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does she have an Elmo?
Oh, she's got a lot of Elmos. The big Elmo, you know, the mama Elmo, the baby Elmo. Yeah, there's Elmos everywhere. There's Elmos at Nana's. There's Elmos everywhere. There's all over the place. There's
my
Elmos
niece
everywhere.
Loved Elmo as well. In fact, my younger niece, for like ever, all we heard was Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo.
Yeah, Elmo and Minnie. Those are the two of my daughter.
Nice.
That's they're everywhere. And Bluey. I don't know if you know the new shows. I'll say this.
No,
for the
I only
parents,
know Bluey's Clues. I don't know Bluey.
See, that one I didn't know. I missed that one. But for the parents out there, Bluey, that's the stuff. That's there's not nice. A lot of them that you want to watch. That's
okay.
the one.
That's good to know. Good advice from Dad over here. So we're doing a question in honor of Valentine's Day, this day of love. It's more of a fill in the blank. Find someone who loves you as much as, and you get to finish the sentence. Now, I'm being a bit snarky tonight, but, you know, find someone who loves you as much as Kyrie loves Dallas, because all of a sudden it's his favorite thing in the world, right? But we're getting some responses on Twitter, A-Law Radio. This has got to be my favorite so far. Find someone who loves you as much as Andy Reid loves cheeseburgers.
I was going to go the other way. Andy Reid loves Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, he does. He so does. And it's his signature style. Donald said that was Phil. Thank you, Phil. Donald says, find someone who loves you as much as Joey Chestnut loves hot dogs. Oh, I don't actually think he loves them. I just think he uses them. That's not a relationship of a good give and take kind of love.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I know you. It is gross. You may need some time to think about it, but if you would like to, you know, generate some more thoughts, I also believe you should find someone who loves you as much as the Pat McAfee Show loves Aaron Rodgers, or as Aaron Rodgers loves himself, plus his ability to do an hour on a radio show every week. There's no one else out there that has that kind of situation.
I was going to say Kyrie loves Kyrie, because you mentioned
so
Dow. I think Kyrie loves himself some Kyrie.
Well, yes. I mean, I was being somewhat snarky.
Yeah. No,
but,
well, I'm not. Not at all. Not even a little bit. I'm never. Not me.
That's funny. Or maybe this. I guess we'll find out at the top of the hour. We welcome Steve Pfeiffer from Milwaukee. I'm starting to feel like more and more that Packers fans are ready for love, if you catch my drift, and that they're turning now a little bit away from their future Hall of Fame QB. So we will ask, but yeah, anytime you've got the last name Love, I suppose Tuesday was your day. We're going to take a break here, but just you can tell me if you did or did not see the Valentine that Juju Smith-Schuster put on Twitter on Tuesday.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, my gosh. I can't help it. Does it make me very small that I laughed my rear end off it? I couldn't help it.
No, but it makes him very small for doing
yes, it. Yes, it does. I know. All right, it's our hump show. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And while you're doing it, on Twitter or Facebook, also, fill in the blank. Find someone who loves you as much as what? I will love him and squeeze him and call him George.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Minute into the second half here. Leonard stepping to a right wing three. Cash. Kawhi Leonard making it rain. Chest pass left side for Leonard. Off a screen, he'll try another three. Kawhi Leonard is feeling it. Left to right, Leonard working on Green. Dancing back and forth, step back right wing three. Oh, Kawhi Leonard. Leonard driving down the right alley, gets to the rim. Oh, Kawhi Leonard, the springboard slam. Leonard off a screen to his right. Leonard with a switch on Poole. Six to shoot, fires a right wing three. He's got it. Kawhi Leonard, his 7-3 of the night. 128-114, 305 to go. Shout out Pitbull.
Helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Noah Eagle with the call on Clippers Radio. We were talking about the career high 8 threes for Jrue Holiday. Well, Kawhi Leonard, no slouch himself on this Valentine's Day night. 7 of 9 from beyond the arc. He finished with 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and he torches the Nets in a victory against the Warriors. This one taking place. This one taking place in LA. And like I was talking about before the break with the point totals, the Clippers score 134. The Warriors score 124, even in a loss. And it certainly has become a theme with Steve Kerr and the Warriors that their defense is subpar. It's not championship quality. Even as they miss Steph Curry, they've traded away James Wiseman. They finally gave up on that experiment. This is a team that is not playing the kind of defense that they played last year in battling to another NBA championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Don't talk about championship hangover, though. And I really hate that theme, actually. I think it's a cop-out. What does that even mean? Most championship teams are not the same. And in this case, with the Warriors, they've changed a lot of pieces around their core group. This is a team that understands what it takes to win. And there are times when they flip the proverbial switch. Of course, every NBA team does. But the whole idea of them still feeling the effects of a championship run that goes back to last June, Draymond Green says, no way.
I don't think it's a championship hangover. It's a will to want to defend. And you're not hungover at 560 games into the season. You're a loser if you're still hungover at that point. So there's no hangover. It's the will to defend and stop and guard your man and sink when you and help and trap the box and rotate. Defense is all 1 to 2 steps extra. Yeah, I'm going to take that extra step to get there or I'm not. And that's all I will. And we don't have that as a team. You can have it as individuals. I can have that myself. Moon can have that, but if you don't collectively have that, it's just like if you put a team together and it's like one guy can really get after it. Nobody else brings anything on that side of the ball. They don't even bring effort. You could put Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or anybody else out there on offense. If no one else is going to want to do the extra things, then it doesn't work.
It's what we've been for the year so far. You know, we've been up and down and right in the middle of the pack on offense, right in the middle of the pack on defense. And, I think we feel like we could be better. You know, we've lost a lot of games that we felt like we should have won, but we didn't win them. So we are where we are. And good news is there's a lot ahead of us. So I think this week off will be great for our guys. And hopefully we can come back from the break refreshed and make a push.
Right now, the Warriors, the champs, are sitting at 29-29. And I would say, similar to what Steve Kerr points out, they've got a long stretch coming up. Now, they are about three quarters, 75% of the way through the season. But there's a lack of separation in the Western Conference for the most part. You've got the Nuggets, who are sitting on 40 wins. So their third best winning percentage in the NBA behind the Celtics and the Bucks. The Grizzlies have faded, though. They've only won 3 of their last 10. A lot going on with Ja Morant. It's time for them to get to the break as well, maybe get a break from each other. So the Grizzlies have faded to 5 back of the Nuggets in the Western Conference. And then the Kings right now are sitting at 25 losses. So Kings are in third place in the West with 25 losses. Then you've got the Suns, 27 losses. The Clippers, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, all 28 losses. The Timberwolves, the Warriors, 29 losses, as do the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then they've played fewer games. But then you've got the Jazz and the Blazers both sitting at 30 losses. So all that to say, within four games of each other in the loss column, the majority of the Western Conference right now. And so it's hard to imagine any of these teams being championship contenders at this point, because they really can't create any separation, except that there is still a stretch run where I believe experience and certainly health comes into play. And for that reason, you can say there's a long way to go. Now, in the postseason, it becomes a completely different animal. So obviously you just want to get there. And that's going to be the real battle in the West, is who is going to get there to have the right to play. And you would obviously want to avoid the play-in tournament as well, that 7-10 split, because that's going to be a dogfight too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So we're asking you for a couple of things. We're asking you to play along with us as we say happy Valentine's Day, but also look ahead to our Wednesday. This is what we do on The Hump Show. Coming up in about an hour and a half, your chance to ask Amy anything. So send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. And then also fill in the blank in honor of the Day of Love. Find someone who loves you as much as... It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.